I'll be reading from Galatians 5:22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Sorry for that advance on our meditation for today. But if you were listening to some of the scriptures, one thing they all had in common was this topic of self-control. So that's what I'm going to try to talk about briefly today for our meditation. So the video is coming soon. And I'm not necessarily the one to be talking about self-control. We can just ask Susan or the kids. Turn it on. Like I said, I'm not the one to talk about self-control. I don't think I'm the authority on it. Just, for example, Christmas. If it's December 18 and there's Christmas presents around, I'm ready to open them. I won't say no. Like, oh, sure. Let's just open them. Or if we go out to eat, Susan, I have a soda. Mine's gone in about 3 minutes, and then I'm asking to have some of hers. So, savoring, those kinds of things, that's not necessarily my strength. But I've had some success with it, and I wanted to talk about this topic and share a video that I came across recently about self-control. As I did a Google search, came up about 80 times in the Bible, Old and New Testament. Proverbs says a lot about it. The scriptures that were read this morning, mainly those were New Testament. Some words that are related to self-control, being patient, which is one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. So patience is in there. Self-control is another one. Self-discipline, self-restraint, willpower, grit, and level-headedness, believe it or not. So I'd like to show this video. It's about 3 minutes long. Just to give you a little background, in the 1960s, there was a psychologist who was wanting to study toddlers. And so this test was conducted on 4-year-olds, I believe. The video that we see is not from the 60s, but that was the original project. Funny that it was the 1960s, because we kind of stereotypically talk about that time as, ooh, out of control in so many different ways. I was born in 1966, so, you know, I could have squeezed into maybe that original study years ago. So the purpose was to try to find out how much self-control a child could have. And so they are given a treat, and in this case, as you saw earlier on the screen, there was a marshmallow there. Let me get that back. And so their goal is called the marshmallow test, and their goal was to have a marshmallow put before them. They could eat it, but if they waited 15 minutes, they could get 2. And educators really embrace this kind of thing. Shannon, you're going to love this. Because as teachers and folks who have taught in the past, we have many teachers here in the church that have worked with kids, and we've all, you know, been parenting, and you know, we work with kids a lot. It's just fascinating. And what we'll find out is that the kids, and there were 600 kids in the 1960s who were tested for this 15-minute chunk, and about 2/3 of them couldn't wait. They had to have that marshmallow. And the 1/3 that could wait, I'll share a little bit of research that was done later for that 1/3 that was able to wait. So this is about 3 minutes, 20-some seconds. So just enjoy it. And as I did a YouTube search, a lot of churches, or a lot of pastors use this as temptation topics. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. All right. Well, how many parents of toddlers are going to go home and try that right now? There's so many ideas I think you can pull from just watching something like that. The study was carried on later, and for the 200 kids, the 1/3 that were able to not eat the marshmallow, there was some follow-up to a portion of those 200. And the conclusions that were made was that those kids the kids that were able to delay gratification. They were more socially competent, more assertive, better able to cope with frustrations in life. In contrast, the kids who grabbed the one marshmallow and gobbled it down, the generalizations that were made, they were more stubborn and decisive and stressed. But there's been a lot of attack on this project saying, oh, how can you take that and expect to predetermine someone's destiny just based on that marshmallow? Well, that's what research does. You get to decide and, you know, come at it from different angles. There was another study in self-control and delayed gratification. This was recently. It was eighth graders. Researchers found that the ability to delay gratification was a bigger predictor of academic gains, a bigger predictor than IQ. Each student was given the choice of either receiving $1 immediately or getting $2 a week later. The self-disciplined youth were the ones who consistently outperformed their impulsive peers on everything from grades to standardized achievement scores. And maybe the kids should have been just eating that marshmallow anyway right at the beginning. Otherwise, they wouldn't obtain as many calories by getting the second one. So they can take it different ways, right? But I think it's a good focus just to be thinking about this topic of self-control and the fruits of the Spirit and all those good things that we were challenged to practice. There was a scripture read from Proverbs, and I think it helps us understand self-control a little more, more clearly, because it says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. And we know when Proverbs was written, cities may have typically been surrounded by walls. So for any wall to be in disrepair, it really put a city at risk. They were vulnerable to attacks. It wasn't as safe. In the paraphrased version of that scripture, the Message, it's written like this. Like a city whose, or like a house that has broken windows or busted down doors is like one who has no self-control. So I can just picture Danny, you know, your windows are all broken, the flies are coming in the house, and Francis is just wondering, where are all these flies coming from? All right? So if you can get the analogy there, that's sort of what life or like we are, what we are like without self-control. It's like a house without doors and windows. It's like a city that's walls are broken down. In Titus, there are four different verses where self-control is mentioned. In Titus 1:8, elders are to be men who are known for their hospitality, good works, holiness, discipline, and self-control. In Titus chapter 2:1, Titus is mandated to teach the older men to be self-controlled. In verse 2 of chapter 2, older women are to be reverent, truth-tellers, not addicted to alcohol, as they teach what is good. Verse 4 challenges them to train younger women to love their husbands and children and to be self-controlled. In chapter 2, verse 6, Titus is to be an example to young men and encourage them to be self-controlled. It reminded me of a prayer that Jennifer shared with us a few weeks ago, and I'd ask her if I could get a copy of it. The title happens to be A Prayer for Later Years. And I thought, well, that's interesting. All these Titus verses are targeting older people. In contrast to the marshmallow experiment, that was all about little kids. But I want to read a couple sections of Jennifer's poem because I think it's applicable to what we're talking about today, this topic of self-control. Lord, thou know that I am growing older. Keep me from becoming too talkative, and particularly keep me from falling into the tiresome habit of expressing an opinion on every subject. Later it says, free me from the notion that simply because I have lived a long time, I am wiser than those who have not lived so long. If I do not approve of some of the changes that have taken place in recent years, give me the wisdom to keep my mouth shut. It just seems like as I was pulling scriptures here and there, it's what we say is what we do. It's what we say is what we do. I had a little success with it this week. And Shannon and other folks who have been in education, you know, and everyone for that matter. It's just so easy. It is so easy. I'm guilty of it. Or of bad mouthing. And I almost did it this week. But I caught myself. And it wasn't when I was even thinking about preaching this or having a meditation. But there was someone who I was a little bit upset with. And I wanted to tell a colleague about that. And this colleague, Jennifer, she's active in her church. And I said, Jennifer, you know what? Right now I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to God. I'm not going to continue this. And she said, well, good. Let's not. And that felt good. It was like, okay, I might not be able to savor the soda. I'll open those presents a day or two early, but I can restrain my tongue. And that's just, as you know, it's loaded through Scripture of all the things that we say and do, how it can get away from us. The final verses of Titus give us the solution to our out-of-control lives. It's not enough to just try to do it on our own. We desperately need God's power and His grace. And in the last part of chapter 2, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all of us. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed return of our Lord and Savior." A couple tips I came across for when we're working at this in what we say is to, number one, think about, is it true? Number two, is it necessary? Number three, is it kind? And as I read those, I just committed those to memory, and I want to make commitment to try that. Think about, is what I want to say true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And we have so much responsibility in the things we do and the things we say. We have to speak to one another. But we hope we do it in ways that are pleasing to the Lord.